Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show. So, Margaret Gray now.
This is when I was, here we go, ready? When I was on stage. When the moon, wait, back up, please, back up.
I thought you guys had this together.
You did!
Back off of me, will you? I want to do a little setup, is that all right?
Go ahead, Margaret, let's not drag this out.
Oh, well, I don't want to drag it.
I mean, what I'm saying is just get into it. All right, this is just to kind of follow up on the whole doomsday thing. The Mayan calendar is a calendar that did not predict the end of time. It was a calendar that ended at a certain date, today or whenever the hell it was, and is an epic in the Mayan calendar.
Yes, exactly, Phil. In other words, commencing tomorrow or the day after, they're not really clear on exactly the day, but we're in the ballpark. And it's very interesting, isn't it, how the Mayan calendars, as well as Western calendars, all reflect this winter solstice, or this dividing line between the seasons, that being this solstice time, or this time of late December. Now, this, as Jung would tell us, is man and his symbol. The fact that we have a shared racial mind, and...
All right, can we just...
Oh, I'm sorry. So, in any event, this is in tribute to the Mayan epic.
What's the new epic called?
Well, the new epic... Are you talking about...
I'm talking about the new Mayan.
Yeah, what is this new Mayan? So we're ending one Mayan epic, which I don't know the name of, and we're entering into... I know that you're going to sing the Age of Aquarius.
Yes, it's the dawning of the Age of Aquarius. I don't know what the Mayans call it. Does it matter?
Well, yeah. I mean, we call ours the Age of Aquarius. This is astrology, though.
Well, yes, it's astrology, but it is the Age of a. Well, yes, it's the Age of Aquarius. In other words, the Mayans have theirs. We've got ours. This is it.
The Age of Aquarius. Most people don't even think of the Age of Aquarius.
Good for them. I don't know what you want me to say, but here it is.
All right, here is Margaret Gray with Age of Aquarius.
And I was on stage at the Aquarius Theater in Los Angeles back in the late 60s when Hair was being produced and presented. And we were on the stage and we all had on just paint. We were naked and we were... just flowing. I remember I was one of the bodies on stage, and then I came out and I took center stage in front of the ensemble and I began to sing The Age of Aquarius. When the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then hold on, will you, for God's sake? Hold on!
What?
I can't get... What are you doing, bud?
I'm not doing anything. I'm playing a song.
What's wrong?
Well, the thing is not... He's not doing it right. There's something wrong with it. The blue stuff over the lyrics...
Yeah, when the blue stuff goes on a lyric, that's when you do it.
But what's that blue there?
That's a countdown. What do you mean, what the blue stuff? That's a countdown chart. And then when the blue goes over the lyric, that's the lyric you sing.
Well, it's making me sing like I've... It's making me sing like I've got a rat stuck up my...
butt?
How dare you...
What is... Ow! Ah, yeah! Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah!
Feels good, doesn't it?
Whoa!
Margaret, I wish you wouldn't do that, okay?
Somebody's got to teach these guys. All right, ready? One, two... When the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then peace will guide the planets and love will steer the...
Go!
This is the dawning
yeah.
of the age of...
So that was the ensemble behind me, 2-3 and 2. And meanwhile, I'm doing a spin, a full layout... And I'm just twirling. I'm doing like a Sonia Henie twirl throughout the stage.
Uh-huh. What's Sonia Henie?
What's Sonia... Stop. What did you just ask me?
What's Sonia Henie?
Yeah, what is that?
What is Sonia Henie? That's a woman.
I'm sorry. Who is she?
She was a figure skater. Very renowned for her... the spinning that she did.
So you were spinning around on the stage?
Phil, the way you put it, it sounds as if I'm in a mental ward.
Well, yeah.
So, in other words, I'm spinning around on a stage with a bunch of naked people, and you think I might as well just be in a mental ward painting the wall with my own feces. Is that it?
Margaret, I didn't say anything of the sort. I don't know the context.
The context is the age of Aquarius.
I'm sorry, but when you say you're spinning around on the stage...
I'm spinning... I'm interpreting the song, Phil.
Yeah, I understand you, Ms. Gray. I don't know it's so tough for you guys to get it.
Yeah, well, you see she's spinning around like she's in the middle of a mental ward, painting the wall with her feces.
I don't like the way you say that.
Come on, watch it. All right, let's try this again, shall we?
Oh, yeah, sure. So now you've gotten your big laugh.
No, I want to see, you know, how this goes. I'm just...
When the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then peace will guide the planets and love will steer the storm. It's the end of times.
I'm here.
End of days, y'all.
Get out of here.
What are you doing?
Get out of with the end of days, y'all.
Well, what? That's my... Get Frank Gray.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. So I got to talk to Frank, huh?
That's exact... There's only a certain amount of this crap that I'm going to take.
Margaret, end of days. I thought we were saying that the doomsday thing with the Mayans was the beginning of a new time, a new epic, and you're giving me this end of days.
I'm doing it for the idiots in the audience. Don't you understand?
The idiots in the audience. That's really great, and they're listening right now.
They understand what I'm saying. I get wonderful email from the audience, and I get wonderful tweedlers, or twitters. Bobby's the one that can't pronounce. I know they're called tweets, but I talk so much to Bobby. I get wonderful tweets from my fans who tell me, Margaret, sing more, please, and Margaret, do this and do that, and I get an awful lot of mail from men that want me to, you know. Don't say it, bud.
Okay.
Don't you dare say it.
Bud, I can see you wanting to say it. When somebody tells you not to say something, you always want to say it. Don't do it. Don't do it, because I'm going to belt you if you do.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Yes, you were. You were going to say that I get mail from men that want me to take my mail from.
Oh, well, he's not supposed to say it, but you do.
I whispered it.
It doesn't make any difference. I heard it clearly.
Yeah, I did too.
Really? What did I say?
Take your pants off.
Is my husband on the phone yet?
All right, you know, I can't take this anymore. Would you get this out of here? Great. That sucked.
That sucked. You only wish you could write music like that. One is the loneliest number that they'll ever do.
That don't make no sense.
Yeah, the whole thing is kind of weird. All right,
Oh, hair was weird, huh?
No, hair wasn't weird, but your whole take on this... I understand. Now, I will tell you that it makes sense to me that the Mayan calendar was representative of an epic and it wasn't the end of the world. Shows you... Aren't we embarrassed by these things, or...?
No, I think it's fun.
You think it's fun?
Yeah, I think people have fun. I think people enjoy, oh, wow, the world's gonna end. Woo!
Yeah, people I know... I was talking to people in my family, they're all like... They had an end of the days party last night.
They did?
My mom did, yeah. I had some of the people over, and they had an end of time and everything.
Well, what were they doing?
Just playing, you know, just watching TV and listening to music.
And they called it an end of times party?
No, but that's what it was.
What? How do you know it was an end of times party?
Because they're all sitting there. Looked like they were dead.
Well, isn't that the way they usually look?
Yeah.
They look like they were dead.
Yeah, sitting there staring straight ahead, looking at, you know, the game show network. And then they looked at Andy Griffith, too.
And they looked like they were dead, so it was an end of times party, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so that's great. We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let's address very briefly the NRA's solution to the... Well, I said I wasn't going to talk about it.
Yes, you did say you weren't going to talk about it.
So I'm not going to talk about it. But I won't talk about that. We'll just talk about the NRA. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
The truth is your bitch, and you got to talk about the NRA.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back. Frank Gray joins us. Frank, how you doing?
I'm better than Custer, young man.
Great, great, Frank, and thank you for calling me young man.
You are a young man. You are a young man. You know, it's the whole, your future's ahead of you, Phil Hendry. I can tell you that right now. Don't let anybody tell you any different, okay? And I know you've got a lot of people that want to put you down and say you're a weird ass. But I talk about you, and I tell people, have you heard Phil Hendry? Because she is the biggest thing that has ever hit the radio.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right.
I wanted to... Margaret is here.
And that was very lovely of you, Frank. I love you.
Well, I love you too, honey.
All right. Frank, Margaret wants to sing The Age of Aquarius.
Oh, for God's sake.
What is wrong with that?
How many times have I said to you that the song doesn't lend itself to your... I've said to him a million times, Phil, the song doesn't lend itself to his abilities because there's the chorus that comes in with that whole screeching sound that I hate. I hate more than poison. And the one thing...
You never said you didn't like the chorus.
I said it. The one thing that I hate was that one karaoke version that I heard with that the one gal, and he was singing like a... Like, he thought he was Lena Horne. There's only one Lena Horne. Let me tell you something right now. And Margaret understands this. He knows this. I love you, honey. And I think you're a good singer. But you're no Lena Horne.
I understand.
Lena Horne was the greatest singer, performer all around that I've ever heard. And when he took the stage, Phil...
Lena, you know, my father was a big Lena Horne fan.
Well, you know what? Your father had great taste. I know a lot of guys, you know, and if your father liked Lena Horne, then she's my kind of a guy, I'll tell you that. Because Lena Horne could sing, and I'll tell you something, she should have come to a concert with me.
Who's that?
Your dad.
Yeah, you guys would have enjoyed it.
Absolutely, because when Lena Horne took the stage, he would belt it out, sweat. I mean, he gave the audience their money's worth. And you talk about a beautiful woman. He was gorgeous.
Well...
Don't laugh. Damn you, don't you laugh.
What's so funny?
Nothing. Margaret wants to sing.
Is he going to sing this Age of Aquarius? Because if he does, I think I'm going to want to pull my own eyeballs out of my skull because I'm...
Oh, Frank, don't be so dramatic. I'm cueing it past the chorus.
All right, because when that chorus comes on, and I told you, that's the reason why I didn't put any money into that show. That was one of the few mistakes that I made, Phil. Did I tell you about that?
No.
I had an opportunity when I was in New York. One of the producers came to me, Ratto, Jimmy Ratto. Do you know her?
No, I don't.
Well, she was one of the writers, and anyway, she says to me, hey, look, Frank, we could use a few dollars to get this thing off the ground, and I said to her, what is it? And she laid out, it's a hippie deal. And I said, you got to be kidding. I said, no one's going to go see a bunch of hairy apes running around in their beads and their pieces. And so I said, take your whole aquarium and park it where the rest of your, where, you know. And
boy, you guys don't sound like you parted as friends.
Oh, I like her. She's terrific. And we still communicate. But she'll say, hey, Frank, you remember when you missed the boat on hair? And I'll say, may God send you to the deepest, darkest, hottest hell for even bringing that up.
So you had a chance to...
I had a big chance.
Yeah, Frank has made some very good decisions in his professional life, but that was not one of them, was it, honey?
No, it wasn't, no.
Boy, you had an opportunity to get on the ground floor of hair.
Yeah, well, that's why I despise it to this day. When I hear it, it sounds like a bunch of monkeys jumping around on the stage.
And yet you feel you made a mistake not investing in it.
Oh, I made a huge mistake. I mean, it doesn't take a brain surgeon. I mean, that hair went on to become one of the most successful plays and musicals that the Broadway stage had ever seen. And I'm sitting on the sideline with my thumb and really most of my hand shoved way, way up there. So far up there, you'd think I'm trying to... Well, excuse me.
Frank, why do you do that?
I apologize. I shouldn't have said that, but when I think about it, I want to... It's a crazy thing, and Margaret knows the story, but I came home one day with a big can of lard, and he said, you remember, honey?
Yes, I do. You really want to tell the story?
Well, I have to. And he says to me, what do you got? What is that? Is that a birthday present for me? Ha ha. And I said, well, don't you wish? And
all right, Frank, don't get into the private.
I'm sorry. So I said to him, no, I said, I got to thinking as I was driving in the car, I heard the song, One is the Loneliest Number That You'll Ever Do. And he says, yeah, and I said, that's from the musical Hair. And he says, oh, you're starting to think about Hair again. I said, yeah, to the point where I went to the store and I got an extra heavy-duty can of lard. And you remember what you said, Margaret?
And I said to him, Frank, you can't keep punishing yourself. And he said, it's all right, you know, I'm going to be a while, and he disappeared into the upstairs bathroom.
Do you understand?
All right, well, this is not for an audience.
Not for an audience? Where is he? Where is he?
Your wife?
Yeah.
I'm right here.
Okay, well, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that Phil's probably right.
Well, okay, then we won't.
Well, all right. I mean, you went upstairs with a can of lard that you purchased at the store.
No, that I made myself. Yes, that I purchased at a store. And I had been thinking about the musical Hair that I had missed the boat on and investing in it. I got a lot of money, Phil. There's no question I have a lot of money. And there's no question that I can't possibly spend all the money I have. But the fact of the matter is, I could have had Merv Griffin money. Do you understand what Merv Griffin money is? That's buying hotels money.
I understand.
I could have purchased hotels. I would have been bigger than Merv Griffin had I simply invested in Hair. But instead, I didn't. So when I heard the song, One is the Loneliest Number That You'll Ever Do, I went to the store. I bought an extra large can of Crisco. You want me to spell it out for you?
Are you telling me you went upstairs and you stuck your hand in this lard?
What was that?
That was me hitting the table.
Well, excuse me, Little Red Riding Hood. I mean, I thought we're all adults here.
Oh, well, you know what, Frank? There's some stuff we talk about on this show, whether we're adults or not, that's mental. You know?
Listen, I agree. I agree it's mentally deranged, but that's what not investing in Hair did to me. It deranged me to the point where I said, I can't take it any longer. I've got to go get lard, and I've got to ball my fist up, and I've got to do penance. I must do penance.
Frank was raised Catholic, even though he's Jewish.
Frank was raised Catholic, even though he's Jewish.
Yeah, you got a problem with that?
No, I don't.
That's exactly what happened. My father... my mother was Catholic, my father was Jewish, and my father said, I don't give a sweet Jesus what you do with it. And so he raised me, she raised me, and he did too.
Meaning your mother?
Yes, Catholic.
All right, Margaret, go ahead.
Oh, so now you want to hear me sing, because what Frank's doing, my singing pales in comparison.
Just spit it out there, okay, Porky? Spit it out, Helen Keller.
I beg your pardon.
I'm joking.
All right, here it is. Margaret Gray with the continuance of When the Moon's...
Now, really, spell it out here.
I got it, don't worry. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and... When the moon is in the seventh house...
Yeah.
And Jupiter...
Yeah!
Then peace will guide the planet, and I will steer.
Hit it!
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius, the age of Aquarius.
I just love it.
All right, turn it off, for God's sake. Have some mercy on me.
All right, so was that good?
Was that good? Yeah, that was fun. That's the way I told him to do it. And if you do it like that, honey, you know, you'll never do it any other way.
Thank you. And that's why I love you. And that's why I love having you in my life.
Yeah. So I got to go home now after hearing that. You know what I have to do. This is why I say, what is the point? What is the point?
Well, there's a half a can downstairs.
Thank you.
Wow.
All right, we'll be right back.
What does wow mean?
That was about as sick and twisted a thing as I've ever been involved in. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil, you're not the one buying the lawn. When the moon is in the seventh house,
Phil Henry.
Mars.
Hey, welcome back. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-867-4445. We're online every night here with a live-streaming video cast of our show at philhenryshow.com. And a new design of our website, which will feature new members' login, our archives reorganized. What a job. Moving the archives over to the new platform, to the new site, has been a huge, huge endeavor for our friends, very good friends and outstanding people at LEG and Molotov, the guys that are taking over our website. I don't think they knew what was in store for them, you know?
Yeah, they probably never seen no archive as big as that.
Yeah, they probably never seen one as big as the one you got.
Oh, my God.
All right. Take it easy.
Well, it's obvious what they're saying.
Well, if they're right, they're right.
You are disgusting.
I'm kidding. We're talking about the archives. And I don't think they have, Bud, to answer your question. It's been a huge undertaking, but an undertaking nonetheless that will be concluded by, I am given to understand, the end of the year. And then as the new year comes rolling in, as the age of Aquarius is dawning, as the new Mayan calendar rolls out and we'll let some other generation of people worry about doomsday now, 13,000 years down the road or whatever the hell it is.
When did the Mayans make that prediction?
It's a little late for the Mayans now, okay? The Mayans had their day. The Mayans had their day, and they blew it! They blew it!
Yeah, the Mayans blew it, man!
You can't talk that way about an ancient civilization, a beautiful civilization.
Yeah, that sacrificed teenage girls by tearing their hearts out. Now then...
You don't know that that's the case.
We most certainly do know that that's the case. Let's get off our... You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to get off this kick that we've been on for, well, since the dawning of the Age of Aquarius, that ancient civilizations hold some secrets. They don't hold any secrets. They don't hold any. The only reason why we think they hold secrets is because we can't make out half of the gobbledygook they were talking about until we finally bring in about 15 guys from the university, some dude that's conversing in hieroglyphic and Mayan and Incan and your mama too. And they figure it out, and they really, yeah, this is a bunch of jackasses that build a freaking calendar, man. Like for instance, Stonehenge. Let's take Stonehenge, for instance.
What's that?
It's a bunch of rocks in England, okay? It's an amazing antiquity. Don't get me wrong, folks. Don't get me wrong. And I think it's fascinating to look into the lives. To me, history is great because if you can, I would give anything to get in a time machine and just to sit and talk, if I could. Which I wouldn't be able to.
They spoke English on account of it was England.
Yeah, that wasn't the same thing. It was not the same language, bud. The English that we know today and the language that the ancient Brits and Celts spoke, it's different. The English that evolved today evolved somewhere around, when the hell, I think they say around the 13th century. Am I right about that? Maybe a little earlier. But,
What are you talking about?
I mean, the English we speak today, we would barely be understood by the people in the, say, the 14th or 15th century. Barely 14th or 15th century. Before that, it was an ever-evolving language. Now, one of the kicks that I we ought to get off around here is this whole thing about how, ooh, Atlantis and the ancient people were so, they were wise for their day. But the Mayans, compared to us, they couldn't find their ass with both hands, which is the title of my new book on Mayan history. The Mayans, compared to us, couldn't find their ass with both hands.
I think it's wonderful.
Yay!
I really do.
Thank you. No, but in all honesty, we got this idea that, oh, they know. They don't know anything. They know far less than what we knew.
But, I mean, what about the pyramids?
What about the pyramids? So what? So they wasted man hours enslaved thousands, wasted God knows how many thousands and millions of man hours building some stupid-ass tomb.
But it was... It had the, you know, the rising sun.
So what? So they knew when the sun rose. So they sat on their ass, and they figured out what part of the horizon the sun rose and what time of year. They were beginning to develop the calendar. They were beginning to develop a knowledge of the calendar. Now, I'm not saying, and this is where people get me wrong, that we're a superior... The things we know today, we learned from our ancestors. We wouldn't be here today were it not for the mistakes and the achievements of the people that came before us. There is no questioning that. We can't look arrogantly back at the past and say, oh, aren't we so much cooler? Because we're not. We're not. They were the ones that paved the way for us. But they are. There's no secrets hidden in the ancient past that, ooh, if we figure it out, we have eternal life. Or if we figure it out, our skin won't break out. Or
if you figure it out, there won't be no male pattern baldness.
Okay.
Good one, bud.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I don't know.
Do they have any bald people back then? Because if you look, seriously, if you look, they don't have bald people at all.
There's no bald people, what, carved into the sides of the hieroglyphics and all that jazz?
Not the hieroglyphics, you gloid. I'm sorry.
Don't use that word.
Well, you were talking about autistic people before the show started.
I wasn't talking about them in a disparaging manner that way.
Yeah, you were. You were saying that one guy.
There's some autistic people that are autistic that do not function in spheres of life that in other spheres of life they do. For instance, online, on the internet. There are autistic people that are on the internet that you would talk to and you'd swear they have their marbles and their wits about them because they can converse, they can socialize, they can function in a limited social environment. That is the environment of the internet. You can't see them and, you know, you can't hear them. The only thing that you know of them is what they write down in the letters and the numerals that they use in communicating to you. But you don't get any sense of what they look like, nothing like that. And that is, for some autistic people, a limited environment that they can work in. And maybe even in a limited way, just using voice like on telephones or radio or something like that. But to actually go into the world and interact with human beings, they have a very, very limited ability to do that, if they have an ability at all. Now, that's the thing about that particular affliction that can confuse us. You know, we may feel extremely compassionate toward people with autism, and yet at the same time, they're capable of being complete and utter anuses when they're online, you know.
I'm glad you used the word anus and not...
Yeah, not the word...
Shut up. All right, so getting back to what I was getting back to... This jazz about how, ooh, it's an ancient civilization and they must have some secrets. No, they don't have any secrets. They don't have any secrets. They only know what they know. And what they know was the limited thing that we knew in those days. I should say we. I shouldn't say them, because that would make us, it would invest us. Because as people living in this time, we're not invested in the past. We think it was us and we think it was them. It's not us and them. That's who we were. We're looking at our own lives. Would you say about yourself... When you were a four-year-old, would you say him or would you say me when I was four?
I wouldn't say you.
You know what I'm saying, bud. Don't get me pissed off.
No, I know what you mean. Yes.
Yeah, I'd say me.
Exactly. We would say when I was four, when I was five, when I was 10, when I was 15. The human race, as individuals, that's how we relate. We see our lives as this linear path leading to now. And that, all of it, is us. When I was an 18-year-old, when I was a 20-year-old, who I am today. We do not see ourselves as members of the human race the same way, and we should, because if we did, we'd have a far better perspective on history, a far better perspective of ourselves. History would become far more interesting because suddenly, you know, it's our life. Everybody, people say they don't like history. And as I've often said, do you know the history of your own life? Yes. Well, then you like history.
Well, that's not really history, is it?
Yes, it's history. Why isn't it history?
Yeah, but it's not going to be in no book.
It's not written down in a history book.
So what? It's history. It's the history of your life. It is an absolute, it is a succession of events significant. You will never know. Somebody may find the history of your life 200 years from now, and somebody says, wow, this is a very significant thing that happened. Here is someone that did this, and that coincides with this, and now we have a bigger picture of what the people were like at that time. You don't know. So the history of your life is important, and people know that because we keep track of our lives. There's nothing that we find more interesting than our own lives. There is nothing more interesting to the human race than themselves as individuals. We love our names, we love ourselves, we love where we live, we love what we wear, we love, you know, everything about us is the most important thing that ever has been, and that is a blessing and it's a curse because we can't get out of our own heads. We can't see ourselves as part of a larger history. So if we saw, well, us. So let's take a look at the human race as if we're seeing the human race not as them, but as us. So when we were way back then in the Mayan period, all we knew how to do was make pyramids, chart out where the sun was in the sky, and hope that the gods wouldn't get pissed off, so we'd sacrifice a virgin every now and again.
Man, we were stupid.
No, we weren't stupid. We were young. We were young. We didn't know as much as we do now. And we sure as hell didn't have some secret to the universe.
Yeah, if we did, man, we'd probably would have kept it.
Well, I don't know, but no. If we did, if we had a secret to the universe back during the Mayan time, then we would have known it by now. We would have used it by now, and I guess we'd all be immortal or whatever the hell. So no, that wasn't the case. And the Egyptians, the same damn thing. And Atlantis, which never existed, so forget it.
Well, you have a theory on Atlantis, which I think is very interesting.
Well, my theory of Atlantis is that Atlantis is not something that used to exist. Atlantis is a fable about what will be.
But what are you talking about? That's crazy talk.
Yeah, that's crazy talk, man.
Stop with that crazy talk.
Will you shut up?
Well, you think that Atlantis is America.
Well, no, well, okay.
You think that that's what awaits America.
No, I don't necessarily. I'm saying that if there was a country in the world that represents what people say Atlantis represented, it's America. What are you talking about? What the hell? What culture existed before this one that was all so fantastic that people are writing songs about it? There wasn't any Atlantis culture.
Well, Phil, there are some archaeological finds.
There are archaeological finds of ancient civilizations that weren't anything greater than maybe the Egyptians or something like that. There ain't no thing.
Well, I think you're that's crazy talk.
Yeah, thanks very much there, Walter Brennan. All right, we'll be right back with more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, including the NRA's solution, which was to put cops in every school. And that's great, except I thought we're in a recession, and I thought people don't like taxes, and I thought, you know what I mean? We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Way down below the ocean, right? Well, what's the problem?
The problem is that iTunes has, iTunes, with all due respect, I hate your living guts. I really do. It's one thing to have, it's one thing to have a great iPhone. It's an appliance. It's a platform. It's something I like to use, but I would like to have a couple of options. And frankly, now I'm getting tired that I've not availed myself. I'm going to start downloading off of, you know what? I'm using Amazon from now on.
Yay!
Why are you applauding?
That's a smart Amazon, way better for download.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'm going to do it.
Well, I use iTunes. What's wrong with iTunes?
iTunes, they're like Facebook. They're always making improvements, and about half of them are not improvements. Half of them take you back in time to a point where, and I understand that there's all kinds of dorks and geeks that, oh, no, you don't understand. See, if you use, that's wonderful. I'm glad that in your universe, all this weird-ass crap makes sense. Because to the real people, see, all the real people.
You're doing the Jack Nicholson again, aren't you?
Yeah, from the cuckoo nest.
From One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, yes. To all of us real people, that stuff doesn't make, it ain't making it. We don't have all the time that some of these people have got to sit on their ass and figure out everything that the internet has to offer and the marvelousness of the this and the that and something else, okay? We have lives. We go out. We meet. We greet. There's something other than the freaking computer. And so when I come back to the thing, I needed to do what I needed to do when I needed to do it, and I don't want to get any lip from it. Otherwise, I'm going to put my fist right through it.
Man, that'd be something, man. You beat up your computer.
They put you away for sure.
Maybe.
Maybe that's something you need.
Maybe I do need it. Maybe I do need to be locked up. Maybe somebody ought to sign the papers on me. It would probably be good. It'd be good for a lot of people. But I was looking for Atlantis. I can't find it.
Well, the song by Donovan, everyone knows, is a way down below the ocean way.
What does that mean?
Atlantis was a civilization that was an ancient civilization, according to the horse dung that people have been spewing about it, that existed way back when. And, they were just all this and a bag of freaking pork rinds. And they knew how to do this, they knew how to do that, and they had spaceships, and,
They had spaceships?
They didn't have space. They had mariners.
Meaning they had guys that could sail boats.
Yes, why do you put that in such a derisive way?
Well, big deal, so they knew how to sail boats. Who doesn't know how to do that?
Phil, Atlantis was a highly developed culture. They had poetry. They had literature.
America has poetry and literature. The world today has poetry and literature. So?
They didn't wear... In other words, they devoted their time strictly to the improvement of the mind. They didn't run around with spears and... I don't know. I mean, we could talk to people that know about it.
Well, you know, we could get Dr. Turner on if you want.
Yeah, I'll get Dr. Ron Turner on. He know about it.
All right, we'll get Dr. Turner on for the next segment. But the point that I'm making here is, everything you just said there, we do here.
No, we... In America?
Yes.
No, we don't.
We have environments in America where all you can do, all you have to do is walk around wearing a freaking caftan and reading poetry and staring at the moon.
Are you crazy?
No, I'm not crazy. In our country... You can do anything you want to do. There are liberal arts colleges. There are colonies of people. There's all kinds of stuff where people just stroll the grounds and smell the squirrel crap or whatever they do.
See, are you happy now? He's laughing.
He ought to laugh. And there are places where you can go where you can learn martial arts. And there's places where you can go and be a militarist. And there's places where you can go and be a poet. And there's places where you can go and be an engineer. And there's places where you can go to be anything you want to be. So we're far superior in that sense than we were back then during the Atlantis days, if Atlantis ever existed, which I don't think it did.
So what about this thing about predict the future?
I just think that it does. I think it is. I think it's a prediction of the future. I think what they're saying is, I think it was a dream. That, you know what they say about fables? They say this. They say that fables and myths, like, for instance, the Ulysses, you know, the Iliad and the Odyssey. These are dreams that mankind has. These are not things that actually happen. They are dreams that the human race has, and we express them in the mythology. And I think Atlantis was one of those dreams. I don't think it was about the past. I think, in point of fact, it was a dream of the future, that there would be a society, a highly advanced world, and the fear was that it would destroy itself, that it would go away. And, of course, that's our fear today, that we will lose what we have, that we value what we have and we'll lose it.
Well, you're running an awfully long way to catch that pass, my friend.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, that's a logical leap.
Phil, let's ask you this.
I'm running a long way to catch that pass, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You cut off the route and decided to go for the post on that one.
Oh, well, get a load of the football fan.
Yeah, when'd you learn that stuff?
My husband, Frank, has filled me in.
Yeah, I'll bet he's filled you. I didn't mean that a sec. Ow! Yes, sir! Right on the left one. That's 2 days running.
Thank you.
We're going to have to knock that off, because I'm going to get phone calls from people saying that we're...
Well, that's your cross to bear, not mine.
No, excuse me. Yes, Robert.
I was just going to say... you're saying that America is a country... I forget what you said.
I forget what I said, too. All right, next hour, we're going to have on Dr. Ron Turner, who can fill us in a little bit on the Atlantis and on the advances of ancient civilizations. And he's an astronomer. He's not a historian. But Dr. Tarner is an astronomer who also has used acid. I'm joking. I'm kidding around.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, he's an astronomer who also dabbles in the astrology and some of the myths and some of the legends of the past having to do with stargazing. Because, you know, that's one thing that the human species has done since the beginning. We look at the stars and we try to figure out, now, what the hell, is there a message there? Now, of course, today we don't. No, it's just stars.
You don't think that astrology has any merit?
Of course not. Of course not.
My God, what arrogance you have. An ancient belief system.
Oh, Margaret, I believe that anything that you can have faith in and motivates you, I think, is good, if it motivates you for the good. So you can believe that there's a lion or a crab up in the sky.
What, there's a crab down in your shorts?
I'll kill it, so help me God. I swear this blood oath, I'll kill it.
Wait a minute!
Hold on. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Ron Tarner, next hour.
So, can I get a little bit of warm milk? I'd like a little bit of warm milk, please, in a saucer.
For your cat?
No, for me.
Phil Hendry.